sound set.
In brightest day.
In blackest night.
Best there is of what I do. What I do best isn't very nice.
The Comic Culture Radio Show. Chris Owen, Walter DeRiley.
Excelsior!
Crush your enemies. See them driven before you. To hear the lamentation of your women.
And welcome to Comic Culture, the radio show that champions the local comic book shop. We are broadcasting at 93.3 CFMU McMaster Radio and podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com. I am Walter DeRiley, Overstreet Price Guide Advisor.
And I am Chris Owen, Professor of Comic History at Hamilton's Mohawk College.
And as always, we are your free comic culture book guys.
Purveyors of comic culture things happening every Wednesday.
Yes.
Every Wednesday.
We're giving it away.
Every Wednesday.
Every Wednesday. Yeah, Chris. That's generous of you and I.
I feel very cheap when I say it like that, though.
No, we give it away.
Yeah?
Yeah. No. But people like to take it.
That is true.
Yes.
It's a good thing we're giving it to them.
Yeah, we are givers.
We are givers.
Yes, we are. Giver. Yes.
Listen. One thing that we do like to give, and that is our listeners a good roundabout for comic books every week. And, we talk about new comics this week, and this week is no different from any other week.
You're absolutely right. And, Chris, this week's new this week is brought to you by Free Comic Book Day.
Yes.
If you don't get your butt into your local comic book shop this Saturday, Chris is going to hunt you down.
Yes, absolutely, yes. Absolutely, I will.
All right, Chris. What goodies have you sampled from the new this week shelf?
So I've got a little smattering here. We're going to start with Marvel this week. First one we've got is Thanos Rising #2. Now I read the last. This is sort of like the unsung origin of Thanos, right?
Right.
And this is sort of goes back to when he was Thanos as a little kid. So a little purple dude running around with a funny looking chin. And this sort of becomes his raison d'être, right? The reason why he is who he is, and he gets picked on a little bit, and
Was he bullied, Chris?
A little bit bullied, yeah.
See,
a little bit.
A little anti-bullying program in his school could have saved the universe, really.
It really could have.
That's how important anti-bullying is.
It's very true. But then he does his own bullying.
Oh.
Because he likes to get back at people. And
right.
Then,
that's my point.
Yep. So, but anyways, really good book. Written by Jason Aaron with art by, I never know how to say this, right? I don't know if it's Simone or Simon or, anyways.
Simone Simon.
Simone Bianchi.
Bianchi.
Right. Anyways, great book from Marvel. And, of course, this, we want to find out more about Thanos with the Avengers movie coming up soon in the next couple of years. In 2015, I think it is.
Right.
So we got to make sure we know all about the Avengers.
Excellent. That is the Thanos Rising #2 at your local comic book shop today.
All right. Next book we've got going on here is we've got one from DC, and this is Huntress and Power Girl.
Huntress.
Now, world's finest, actually, #12. But, it's funny, Power Girl seems to be becoming a bit more of a bigger player these days.
I'll say.
Yeah, it's just a fun book, as usual. They've finally changed her costume from the I don't want to say crappy, but crappy costume that they gave her in the New 52. Now she's back to the old classic costume.
With the big circle that showed her cleavage, right?
That's right. Well, as they call it, the window to the universe.
Right.
The window to the universe. That costume is now back. Fun book written by Paul Levitz with art by McGuire. Kevin McGuire. Couldn't think of his name. Kevin McGuire, great artist, especially doing facial features.
Facial features.
Yes.
Right. That
I know how much you like facials.
Yes. Well, they're good for the poor.
They are. Very good for the poor.
They open them up, Chris. What were we on? What were we talking about?
Huntress, Power Girl, World's Finest.
#12 is at your local comic book shop today.
Yes.
Go in and check that out, please.
All right. Next up, now, sorry, I missed one. I was told by our young engineer here, Mr. Andrew Roebuck, that we have to talk about the Superior Spider-Man number 9.
Number 9?
Apparently,
number 9?
Apparently, number 9? What's his name? Not Dan Slott. Dan Slott said, if you thought The Amazing Spider-Man number 700 was going to tick people off, wait till you read Superior Spider-Man number 9.
Get out.
Yeah. So,
you did something stupid again?
Well, I don't want to get too much into it.
Chris, but you just said that you and I give it away.
Well,
every week.
Kinda.
But we're not
kinda.
Doing this way.
But I don't, you know, I'm flipping through it. I don't know if people are going to be ticked off by this or not. I think it's going to be, well, he's pointing to me to look at the last page. Is that what I'm looking at here? Yeah, I see that.
Don't, guys.
I don't know if I'd be ticked off by that or not.
Well, I'm ticked.
I don't know. Anyways, you know what? I highly suggest that you go out and read it for yourself. I don't want to give anything away. It continues the great storyline that Dan Slott started in Amazing Spider-Man number 700. That's all I'm going to say. And go out and pick it up because it's a great read.
Okay, so this is, what's this book called again? Superior Spider-Man, number 9, and it's at your local comic book shop today. Check that one out.
Okay, last but not least. Now, Walt, I can't believe, yes. You know, they've had books like this before, but I don't think they've ever had a comic version of Sesame Street.
Get out.
Sesame Street, number 1, comes out today from Ape Entertainment, and
nice.
You know what's great is I remember there being like a Sesame Street magazine,
yeah.
And you'd kind of. I remember even as a kid, you'd
books.
Yeah, little
yeah.
books. But I don't think there's ever. I don't, from my
yeah,
knowledge,
yeah,
I don't
right.
think there's ever been an actual
right.
comic.
Yeah.
And why not?
Awesome.
This is great. What a great idea! Lots of great writers and artists in there. It's a great looking book. It's for all ages, of course, young readers. You know, I think it's awesome.
You know what Sesame Street did great over the years was they. Because it was a kid's show and it was on PBS and a lot of great celebrities went on to entertain kids.
Yeah, absolutely.
I still remember one of the most popular YouTube videos ever, not ever, but, you know, like of Sesame Street was when Stevie Wonder was on doing Superstition.
Yeah,
on
right,
Sesame
right,
Street.
Yeah,
little
yeah,
kids
yeah.
dancing around.
Yeah.
Right? But even
Morgan Freeman, Easy Reader.
He was Easy Reader.
Yeah.
And I remember Richard Pryor. There's another one. Richard Pryor goes on, he does the alphabet.
Oh, yeah? Nice.
1970s,
nice,
right?
Nice.
Like, there's the alphabet.
Yeah.
And so you get all these stars going on because it's for kids and stuff. And yeah, it was like, it almost seems like, why the hell did it take this long for Sesame Street comics?
It boggles my mind.
Yeah.
It really does. You know, one of my favorite songs, you know how they would kind of do parodies of popular songs?
Yeah.
One of my favorite ones was, you know, the Beatles song, Let It Be.
Yeah.
Well, they did Letter B.
Yeah, letter
and they were
B.
teaching kids about the letter B, right? Letter B,
yep.
Letter B.
Yes.
Yeah, loved it.
Were they in tune?
Probably more than I was. Yeah.
Okay. Yeah, this is great. My favorite, I think, okay. I mean, we both watched Sesame Street when we were kids.
Absolutely.
And it's been around long enough that we were kids when we were watching it.
Yes.
Who was your favorite Sesame Street character?
Oh, that's a great question. Probably Grover.
Grover?
Yeah, probably Grover. Who's yours?
I don't know. It was between the Cookie Monster and the Count.
Oh, yeah.
I used to love that guy.
Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, but Sesame Street is awesome. And number 1 from Ape Entertainment is at your local comic book shop today. Check that out.
Nice. All right, listen, we're going to have a quick musical interlude here. And remember, please go out and support your local comic book retailer. Check out what new this week is offered to you at all your different stores, and try something different. You know, go to the store and check out a new book. Try to buy something that you've never bought before.
Right.
Right? Anyways, all right, let's go on to a musical interlude here. I got a whole bunch of new songs here, and this one is called I Am the Doctor by John Pertwee.
Beyond the mind, the empty space that circles time. I see where others stumble blind to seek a truth they never find. Eternal wisdom is my guide. I am the Doctor. Through cosmic waste, the TARDIS flies to taste the secret soul.
present science can't deny exists.
That, Chris, is cool. Now, that, of course, is what? Dr. Doom, right?
Doc Ock, actually.
Doc Ock. Yeah, I know.
No,
it.
That is, of course, Doctor Who.
Of course, that music is
and John
iconic,
Pertwee,
really.
John Pertwee, who is doing the voice there, is, of mm-hmm. course, one of the iconic doctors
right.
from the original show. I believe he was like the fourth or third doctor.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not really that up on it, but I'm pretty sure he was one of those. He was one of the ones from like the 70s, I believe, maybe even late 60s. So, anyways, great.
Damn it, Jim. I'm a doctor, not a bricklayer.
All right, listen. Let's continue the show. And, of course, we're going to move on to Mailbag,
which is brought to you by Free Comic Book Day.
Which is when?
Saturday, May 4th, or the first Saturday in May every year.
Right. So that would be this May the 4th.
That is three days from now.
Which, coincidentally enough, is also the Star Wars Day.
Yes, I heard that.
Because it's May the 4th be with you.
Yes, indeed.
May the
4th be with you. Now, Star Wars, May the 4th be with you.
Yes.
They obviously have to celebrate that on a Wednesday or a Tuesday.
Whenever it happens to be. Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
So this year's a gravy
this
one.
This one's great. Oh, yeah.
Because it's like on a Saturday.
Yeah, really. This is like the trifecta of geekdom this weekend,
yeah.
because you've got Iron Man 3 coming out on mm-hmm. on the 3rd,
right.
then you've got May the 4th be with you on the 4th,
uh-huh.
and then you've got Free Comic Book Day
on the 4th. Oh.
Like, this is like geek heaven.
Nerdvana.
Yeah, exactly.
Right.
All right, so let's mailbag. What was the question? Oh, right. This question is brought to you from Paul in Burlington.
Paul
in Burlington.
I know him.
And Paul says, "Dear Walt and Chris, I'm planning on going to Free Comic Book Day, but I've been in the past and it wasn't that great. So why should I bother going again?"
Well, okay, Paul. Okay. Hold on, Chris. I mean, listen. Free Comic Book Day is celebrated by 2,500. Comic shops across North America.
Right.
Okay. Now, unfortunately, comic book shops don't all work together. This is a problem with comic book shops. Yeah, there's organizations like Comics Pro that tries to get the retailers together to try to do things in unison or
yeah.
something like that. So I'm suspecting that Paul might have gone to one of the very few comic shops that really didn't maybe put much of an effort into the day.
Right.
Because most of the comic shops I know,
right.
you cannot go there and be disappointed.
Absolutely. And, you know, maybe he went, you know, five, six, 10 years ago, right?
Or maybe he went like 10 to 6.
The comics were gone.
Yeah, the comics were gone, or the hot dogs were gone, or
right,
you know, that
right,
kind of
right.
stuff.
Yeah, well, yeah. You know, if you go to Big B Comics and you show up at 11:30, all
the hot dogs are gone. Yeah,
well,
that's, you know. You should see some heavyweights coming in there for those hot dogs.
Yeah, no, and usually it's not hot dogs. It's like, you know, pork loin or something.
Whatever
like
it is. But yeah. So I'm hoping, Paul, that it's something like that. I mean, just, you know what, what do you call that thing? The intranet?
Intranet.
Yeah.
Their intranets, yeah.
Well, what you do there, Paul, is go online and in a comic shop locator.
Yeah.
Right? And, hey, okay, I'm willing to drive 12 minutes. That's my limit. I'm 12 minutes. That's it. I'm willing to drive 12 minutes.
A whole 12.
So you check out, you know, which comic shops are within 12 minutes of your house.
Right.
Go online. Check them out. Check
absolutely.
Out their website.
Absolutely,
they're all
yeah.
got stuff happening on Free Comic Book
yeah.
Day. And, of course, go during the thick of it.
Yeah, absolutely.
I encourage, don't go
don't go
5 to 6 when they're open
at 6.
No, you got
to go when it's packed, right?
Yeah,
gotta,
to enjoy the ambiance.
There is an energy about Free Comic Book Day that you will find nowhere else.
Right,
yeah, absolutely.
Right. Okay, so, Paul, an anomaly. Your last experience was an anomaly. Try it again this Saturday, and you will not be disappointed.
That's right.
All right.
Sounds good.
Thanks,
okay.
Paul.
Thank you, Paul. All right, let's move on to industry news. And
yes.
Of course, industry news is brought to you by
Free Comic Book Day.
Free Comic Book Day.
Which is when?
Which is this Saturday, May the 4th.
May the 4th.
May the 4th be with you.
All right.
And so, also with you.
Wow, it's like a theme.
It is. Chris. It is.
Great. So what's on the radar for news?
Well, of course, now we've got the Man of Steel movie is coming up soon.
Yes.
Right? And this
is
the one.
I'm excited about
that. Oh, me too. This is one by Zack Snyder.
Yeah. I saw the clip that, what do you call those things that are on?
Trailer.
Trailer. Thank you. And it looked pretty exciting.
Well, you know, it does. It actually looks really good. I showed my wife, and she thought it looks great too.
You showed your wife?
The clip.
Looks great.
The clip.
The clip. Okay,
yeah,
right.
To the trailer.
Okay.
Yeah.
I understand that.
And she thought it looked great, too. Mm-hmm. So here's the thing. So this new Man of Steel movie is going to be rated PG-13.
Right.
Which I believe – now, do we even have PG-13 in Canada, or is that just a United States thing?
I'm not sure.
We may have
a PG-14. I seem to remember.
Oh, we have 14A. Yeah.
Oh, sorry.
Okay.
That may be the same thing.
Oh, same idea. Yeah. Right. Okay. So – here's a guy, Greg Rucka. Greg Rucka.
Greg Rucka.
Greg Rucka is a well-known...
It's a good kid from Belleville.
Good kid, that Greg Rucka kid. Anyways, he's famous, infamous writer for comic books, DC, and he wrote Whiteout.
Whiteout, yeah.
Anyway, so he has said, he's a high-profile comic book artist, and he has said he doesn't like the idea that they've made this Superman movie at PG-13
mm-hmm.
because he, quote, if you make a Superman movie you can't take kids to, you've done something wrong. And I got to say, he's got a bit of a point here. You know, they're saying that he's saying the fact that they made this movie PG-13 is making him nervous. Now, he also says that he gets tired of you know, the fact that, you know, people seem to think that in order to make a good superhero movie, it has to be dark and grim and gritty and that kind of
it's
thing.
It's all Batman's fault.
It is. Yeah. It is. But I think as we've seen through Iron Man and the Avengers, it doesn't have to be right?
Yeah, right.
Look at Thor. Look at Captain America. It was not really you know, great storytelling. It wasn't.
Well, maybe Warner's having success with dark and gritty, and they don't know how to make.
Well, because they're a one trick pony, right?
Yeah.
They know how to do Batman.
Yes.
Because Batman's an easy character to write because you make him dark and gritty and moody and brooding
and broody.
Moody and broody. Weren't they one of the two of the seven dwarfs?
Might have been.
Yeah.
They
could have
got Corey Hart to play Batman. I wear my sunglasses at night.
So
he always had that moody look.
He did. He did. You know, I wonder if any of our fans from the you know, the United States know who Corey Hart is.
Of course they do.
Okay, I'm saying. I don't know.
If they don't, Google Corey Hart.
Well,
you'll regret it, but do it anyway.
Right. So anyway, Greg Rucka is saying basically, you know, you can still make a good movie and not have it be, you know, a dark and grim and dirty movie.
Yeah.
Now, and I agree with him because, you know what, they're going to be putting out, you know, sooner than later, they're going to be putting out the Justice League movie that they want to try to do. Because basically, DC is going ahead and copying what Marvel did with all the different superhero movies
sure.
and having an Avengers movie. And
why not?
And Warner Brothers is saying, hey, you know what? Let's put out a Wonder Woman movie. Let's put out a Superman, a Batman, and then eventually we'll have a Justice League movie. So, you know, but I think they're going at about it wrong. If they're going to make it all PG-13 or adult accompaniment or whatever you want to call it, it might be tough for them to get the kind of audiences that they're really looking for, because so far they're only used to doing the you know, restricted, you know, Batman movies, basically, right?
Yeah.
So I don't know. I agree with them.
Well, okay. Here's the thing. Now, look at the world of comic books, Chris.
Okay.
And look at a character like, let's say the big characters, Superman, Spider-Man, Batman.
Right.
I would say those are written for three specific age groups. At three intellectual, social levels.
Right, okay.
You get the Art Balthazar Titans type stuff.
Yeah, yeah.
You may get your, you know, I don't know, Spider-Man Loves Mary Jane type stuff.
Right, for teens.
Teen or young adults type stuff.
Yeah.
And then you'll get your Dark Knight Returns
right.
or whatever, which wasn't designed for kids.
Anyways,
thing.
Yeah.
So, okay, I understand that you can – I understand the concept of being able to write Superman at different levels.
Right.
To write a Superman for me and you.
Yeah.
To write a Superman for my kid.
Right.
Okay? Those are two different Supermans.
Right.
Okay?
Right.
So what you're saying here is for a mainstream movie that out of all the platforms, correct me if I'm wrong.
Yeah, okay.
Here, out of all the platforms for superheroes, T-shirts,
yeah.
Toys,
yeah.
Video games, comic books, graphic novels.
Right.
The one that's going to reach the largest audience is a movie.
Yes.
Would you say?
Yes.
The widest reach
absolutely.
In society.
Absolutely. For sure. Okay. For sure.
So then we have to ask ourselves, how should we write that? Now that it's reaching the widest level,
yeah.
Should we try to have the widest net in terms of the approachability to that movie? Should we write it as a restricted 18?
Right.
Should we
write it
as a kid's adventure?
But
should we write it right down the middle where kids and adults can watch it?
I'm
agreeing with you.
Yes.
That's what they should do.
Absolutely. That's exactly what they need to do. They need to make it accessible to both kids and adults because adults are going to want to take their kids to go see this movie.
Right. But adults have to enjoy it too.
Right. It has to be good enough on both levels.
Right. So let's say that wasn't a superhero movie, but let's say something like Indiana Jones.
Yeah. It's a great movie.
Yeah. Raiders of the Lost Ark, whatever.
Yeah, you know. I know what you mean.
Adults loved it. Kids loved it.
Sure.
Everybody loved it.
Yeah. That's
Avengers.
Right. Sure.
Adults loved it. Kids loved it. Everybody
absolutely.
Loved it.
Absolutely. In fact, I got the Avengers. I got my wife interested in those movies and all the Marvel movies, and then she got her relatives interested in. Now there's a whole bunch of us going to see it on Friday, right?
Right.
Because it's going to be a big family outing now.
Awesome.
So
are you bringing all those people to your local comic book shop on Saturday?
Absolutely. I am.
Good for you.
Absolutely.
Good
I am.
For you.
Yeah, for sure.
All right.
Listen, well, I think Greg Rucka makes a great point, and I think we're able to. I think they should make it. I mean, PG and PG-13. I don't know what the difference is. I don't think that it's that big of a difference. However, I think it might be just enough of a difference where if you want to take your 8-year-old, you might not be able to.
Yeah, I think from what I understand is if you want to bring a kid less than 13, you have to go with a parent.
Right.
And it might be a moot point because in today's society, nobody lets their 11-year-old go to the movie by themselves.
Yeah, it's not like the old days where it'd be like, okay, see you later.
See you later, Johnny. He's like nine years old.
I'll pick you up in 8 years.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Just come back before midnight.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think we're on the same page. I think Superman should be as inclusive as possible.
I agree.
All okay. right.
Listen, let's you know who's not inclusive is Walmart and Warner Brothers are not being inclusive at all with their movie Man of Steel.
Still on the Man of Steel.
Still on the Man of
More
Steel.
More trouble for the Man of Steel.
This guy named Ron Catapano.
The big capo.
I think that's how you say it. Ron from Ron's Comic Book World or Comic World in Mount Holly, New Jersey.
Yo, Jersey.
Says that, so basically Walmart has now been given the opportunity to sell movie tickets. And so Walmart is going to be selling advance tickets to see The Man of Steel.
Right.
Now, so it's not that.
So Warner's has entered a deal with Walmart.
Right.
For Walmart to sell advance tickets.
Right.
To The Man of Steel.
So, yeah. So basically, Warner Brothers is going to team up with Walmart to sell advance tickets beginning in May to a special screening of Superman movie in July. The tickets will also include a code to pre-order the DVD before the movie even comes out.
Oh!
So you buy a ticket to the movie. In that, when you get that ticket, it has a code on it. You can go on online and then you pre-order your copy of the movie before you've even seen it.
Why would you do that? What if it stinks?
Well, exactly, yeah.
And that's why they want you to buy
it.
Oh, smart.
Yeah.
These guys are smart.
So,
well, they're stupid at the same time.
Now, this is also, the idea is to sell a lot of tickets before, beforehand for a special early showing. So there's lots of traffic. So people will then be committed to sell, to buy their DVD from Walmart.
Right.
And
it ups probably the weekend gross for the first week.
Right. Right.
And it makes it, Man of Steel did 130 million.
Right.
Woo,
right.
Look how awesome it is.
But since when are retailers allowed to sell specific movie tickets? Like, that's one of the problems that I have with it. I thought, you can go online and order it from the movie theater itself, or you can go to the movie theater and buy it right there and then.
Right.
But since when can I go to Target or Walmart or, where a Sears or the Bay and say, I think I want to go see Iron Man 3 this weekend. I'm going to buy my ticket here.
Yeah.
Like, it just doesn't seem right to me.
Yeah, you know what? I think you're right, too. And I think what stinks for me most is Warner Brothers. I don't necessarily blame Walmart here as the retailer.
Right.
I think I blame Warner Brothers more.
Oh, yeah. Well, you know who they're sticking it to?
the local comic book shop.
That's right.
So let's just say Warner Brothers has – I'm just going to come out and say that without the last 30 years, since the direct market.
Yep.
Okay, 35 years, let's say, has taken hold. And let's just say Diamond for all intents and purposes, not all the other distributors came before, but Diamonds.
Yeah, okay.
The Diamond comic distributors and them funneling the products into the local comic book shops have really built the base that DC and Marvel are enjoying right now to basically take over the world with their properties.
Yeah, for sure.
Right?
For sure.
And it's the local comic book shops were the front line for this.
Yes.
Why wasn't there – maybe there was. Why wasn't there a program through Diamond about some sort of incentive for the local comic book shop to say, hey, you know what? I know maybe a little bit more work, but you could pick up your Iron Man tickets or your Superman tickets through your local comic book shop.
Why not?
And, you know, and maybe get an incentive like a flipping, get a code for an online comic or something like that.
Absolutely.
You
know what?
Right?
Yeah. Canada, I mean, in Canada, certainly in the Southern Ontario area, there's really one movie theater company, right?
Yeah. Well, I mean, Galaxy's okay, and it's here and there.
But isn't that still just Cineplex?
But it's mostly is Galaxy Cineplex?
I think it's
too?
All Cineplex. Oh,
okay, you're right.
I think it's
I'm
all
sorry.
The same thing, right? So why couldn't, you know, at least, you know, why couldn't the Diamond have said, hey, you know what? Here's a comic book store. We're gonna make a deal with Cineplex so that comic book stores can sell tickets, and then on those tickets they're gonna have a special code that you can take it to Cineplex Odeon and go see this movie.
Right,
right. Yeah. So it'd still be on the dime of comic book stores. So I mean, if the store wanted to buy 40 tickets,
sure,
they still have to sell those 40 tickets. Yeah. It's just like buying a book, right?
Right.
So it's not like they're giving away all these movie tickets, or you know, it's not a freebie. So why can't Diamond do something like that to help to support the local comic book retailer? The same people that who are, you know, they have basically built their company.
Pretty well. That's right? My point. That's
yeah,
my
point. I'm agreeing with
that's
you.
My like, point. I think they could have even went up and had a mechanism where the things were bought through the local comic book shop, and the local comic book shop only submitted it when they got the money from the customer.
Right,
and
right.
thus eliminating the risk for
too.
The local comic
for sure.
book shop. So there could have been a way around it, obviously. And collectively, the problem is it's a problem and a benefit. I don't know what the right word is. But collectively, all us local comic book shops, we reach a larger customer base that of pure comic book type fans than anybody.
Sure, of course you do. Yeah.
But individually, we're just all small fry.
Yep. Or, right? or at least have some sort of special code, you know, where they can download a free comic from your local comic book retailer, something like that. Something that somehow helps these guys out.
I think we'll call, you know who we'll call out here?
Ghostbusters.
We'll call Diamond out here.
Yes.
Because Diamond has the most to gain from a healthy direct market.
Absolutely, yeah, right? For sure.
And Diamond is a large enough concern to directly negotiate with, you know, people like Warner.
Okay, so I can understand, like, Warner Brothers. I mean, I know years ago Warner Brothers has said that basically DC Comics were like an R&D kind of offshoot of Warner Brothers, right? Uh-huh. Because the profits that DC was bringing in for Warner Brothers was pretty minuscule compared to, I mean, talking strictly from comic book sales.
Right,
right?
Of course,
it was pretty minuscule compared to the amount of money that they were making from all the movies and
toys, licensing
and all. From strict comic book sale profits, it was pretty small. Mm-hmm. So it was kind of, from what I remember, it was kind of kept going based on the fact that they kind of saw it as a research and development area, right? Mm-hmm. You know, like, because they can come up with all these cool, you know, ideas and storylines, and eventually they can become made movies of, right? Now, I can see where they can say, hey, you know what? We don't want to even worry about comic books themselves too much.
Yeah.
But they're really shooting themselves in the foot this way.
It's dumb. It's dumb how it's frustrating how people don't see it. Like you said, you know, the frontline comic book market may not bring you the most money, but without it, you can't have the other things.
Exactly.
Do you know what I mean?
Exactly.
So it's your incubator, really.
Yep,
it's you can't have the other things without it.
It's like trying to have Star Wars stuff without the Star Wars movies.
Exactly.
Right. You can't have a Star Wars video game or Star Wars toys without having the Star Wars movies to build on it.
Right.
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 So it works the same way with comics. But anyways, I think we've proven our point.
All right. We've proved our point.
We have. Let's have a quick musical interlude here. What do you want to listen to right now, Walt?
Crits.
I have something. No, I don't want to say better than Krantz.
I can't say it.
But let's, I'm going to go without Krantz this week.
Oh,
I know. I'm sorry.
All right,
but
okay.
I want to
Free Comic Book Day week.
I want to expand our songs and what we're going to be doing here on the show. So let's go with this one. This one's called Batman, Wolfman, Frankenstein, or Dracula by The Diamonds.
I love to take my baby to a movie show so I can try to smooch her while the lights are low. But she won't cuddle to a story of romance. There's only one way I've got a chance. It takes the Batman, Wolfman, Frankenstein, or Dracula to put her in the mood for love. It takes the cat, girl, dog, boy, creature from the Black Lagoon to make her feel like making love. It takes a monster from outer space to make my baby want my embrace. And when I hold her, she's like a dream. If only she can hear somebody scream. For parking down in Lover's Lane, and lots of moonlight doesn't drive this girl insane. She thinks that dreamy music really is a bore, but I found out what she's looking for. It takes the Batman, Wolfman, Frankenstein, or Dracula to make her tender as can be. It takes a cat, girl, dog, boy, creature from the Black Lagoon to get her making love with me. If there's a madman who grows a bed bug that wrecks the world, she gets romantic.
Indeed, Chris, indeed. I like that.
Yeah, it was pretty good, eh?
Yeah.
You know, I had young Buck over here, Andrew Roebuck, was looking at me like, what are you playing? But he was getting into it.
He was enjoying it. He was tapping his feet.
Yeah, that's right.
Now, he just wrote me a little note saying he's taking his girlfriend out to a horror movie.
Oh, nice.
Now,
because, you know, it takes the Batman, Wolfman.
Listen. Speaking of scary stuff and taking the girls to.
Yes.
You and I.
We took our girls.
We took our girls to that romantic experience of Night of the Living Dead Live.
Yes, we did. And hands down, great show. And, you know, I'm not just saying that because the producer is a friend of ours, young Shecky Feldstein.
Shecky did a great job on that.
Shecky did a great job. And you know what? I have to say that of all the things that Shecky's been involved with, that is the number two best thing he's ever been
involved
with.
Absolutely. Signing on with us, of course.
Well, that's number one.
Is number one.
Yeah. But,
so we were there Saturday night at the Passmurai Theater, which is Queen Bathurst area.
Yeah. Yeah. What a trendy little area.
Beautiful.
You know, because Queen Bathurst area of Toronto reminds me of what Queen, maybe not Spadina, but Queen Bay Street.
Around Much Music area.
Yeah, where it used to be. John Street, maybe it is.
John.
Yeah. That's what it used to be, because now that area is very trendy, right, with the Gap and all that kind of stuff. Whereas now, Queen and Bathurst, it's all cool little shops and antique shops and all that kind of stuff. It's very cool.
Yeah.
Anyways.
And we went in, and we sat down, and there was two acts.
Yes.
There's a nice little intermission, 15 minutes, where you can go up, have a quaff.
Yep.
Right? And
They do have a licensed bar there.
Yeah, they do have a licensed bar upstairs. And, you know, you can partake a bit and then head back down and enjoy the rest of the show. And it was just fabulous. I loved it. My wife loved it.
Yep. I absolutely loved it. Yep. And, you know, my wife was a little hesitant because she doesn't like zombie movies. She doesn't like horror stuff.
Yeah.
And I kept on saying, you know, I think you're really going to like it. You know, she's like, I don't know. But she loved it. She thought it was great. It's a great theater experience.
Mm-hmm.
I thought the set was great. I thought the acting was top notch.
Yes.
Absolutely top notch. I thought it was great.
Yeah,
you know,
beautiful.
I, here's my problem. I want to talk about it, but I don't want to give anything away.
Okay. Listen, let's do something for Shecky. I think, what's the night? Do they have a night where they've announced like a discount or something?
Yeah,
or?
Okay. So there's a couple different things going on. Mm-hmm. So I believe that this Thursday night, they're doing.
Tomorrow.
That's right. Tomorrow night already.
Yeah.
They're doing 2-for-1 tickets.
Uh-huh.
And I believe they've now dropped the price of their 11 o'clock shows on the weekend to $20 or $25. I think it's $25.
Just double check online.
Double check online.
On the thing.
So
nightofthelivingdeadlive.com.
Yep. And I believe George Romero.
Yeah, he'll be there this weekend.
He'll be there this weekend. I don't know if it's the Saturday or the Friday.
I think both.
Oh, okay. Well, there you go. Yeah. And now, of course, he is the original director of Night of the Living
Dead.
Yes,
and the other guys that were...
John Russo and Russell Striner.
They're coming up this weekend,
They're coming up this weekend as well.
Right. So it's going to be a busy, busy weekend there.
And you know what? If you don't like zombies and all that kind of stuff.
It's not about the zombies.
It's not about that. It's the acting is great. The story is great.
Mm-hmm.
Man.
Humor, effects.
Oh, awesome. Awesome effects. Awesome humor. You know, there's not a whole lot of blood and gore and that kind of thing. So don't worry about taking your little kids to it because they can easily go see this.
Yeah. Well, I don't know about little.
Well, but you know, like teenagers.
I'll say it's PG.
13. Yeah, absolutely.
Keep it at 13.
Perfect. Anyways, great show. I highly recommend it.
All right, Chris.
Speaking of horror. The horror.
Remember when Robin Williams on his album, Robin Williams did an imitation
of Marlon Brando?
Of Elmer Fudd doing Marlon Brando.
Yeah, yeah.
And he went, Dawa. anyway.
Oh, goodness. All right.
Yeah.
Where
are we?
Now, my good friend and yours, Mr. Art Balthazar.
Yes.
He does the Aw Yeah comics. So he does, like, you know, the Tiny Titans and that kind of thing.
Kickbacks, right?
Absolutely not. No. He should, though.
Yeah.
At C2E2. In Chicago this last weekend.
Yeah, the past weekend.
They have now Art Balthazar and Franco Orleani, or I'm sure I'm saying that wrong, and Mike Mignola of Hellboy fame have kind of come together in a new partnership with Thrill Bent Comics, and basically they're going to be publishing Itty Bitty Hellboy.
Get out.
So
like a Tiny Titans type
Tiny
of thing?
Titans version of
for
Hellboy.
Hellboy.
Yeah.
I think that's cool.
I think it's awesome. I think it's great. Balthazar and Orleani are, you know, they have this all ages attitude. And you know what? Their stories are fun and they're fun to read. I don't care if you're 5 or 85. They're
right.
A great, fun comic to read. They've got a great sense of humor. Itty Bitty Hellboy is going to be sort of this great little add-on to the Hellboy canon. You know, it's just going to be fun stuff. And that's going to be coming out on August the 28th.
Wow, that is cool. I admire them for that.
Yeah.
I admire them pushing the envelope. I admire them looking for new approaches to the character.
Yeah,
I think that's great.
Absolutely. And you know what? These guys are always good at coming up with new things. It's funny. They often come up with even their own thing. Like they would have Patrick the Wolf Boy, or they had Gorilla.
Right.
You know, they had all different kinds of stories. They're always trying something new, and I think that Itty Bitty Hellboy will be great.
Excellent. All right, Chris, let's move it on to let's talk about. By the way, Chris, we have to remind our listeners that they're listening to us at 93.3.
Yes,
CFMU, McMaster Radio. Hamilton's award-winning radio station.
Yes, it is. Yes. Mainly because of us.
And, of course, we're podcasting at getthepointradio.com and comicbookdaily.com.
Right.
Sorry, we have to throw in those.
Are we still podcast on...
Get the Point?
Yeah. That's
I think we are, last I heard, we are their number one show. I believe.
Oh, stop.
In the 7:30 to 8 o'clock Thursday time slot, we are their number one show.
How could we possibly be number two?
Right.
Yeah. All right.
Listen, hey, let's
talk about Iron Man.
Yes, please.
All right. So Iron Man number three. Now, I'm a little...
Number three?
Number three.
Iron Man number three.
Iron Man Iron Man the third, as it were.
Iron Man the third. Oh, by the way, speaking of I say and tip tip.
Yeah, how is our good old friend Danny Champ anyways?
Danny Champ,
he's in like Africa,
back, no,
isn't
he? Just came back from South Africa.
Yeah, yeah, that's awesome.
He came back from South Africa. And he's back writing for Comic Book Daily now.
Nice.
I emailed him. I said, you know, how was South Africa? And he said it was great. He said he got a chance to play cards with the natives.
Get out, really?
Yeah, and I asked him, Zulus?
Yeah, yeah.
He said, no, I won. No, listen.
Oh, man.
That was worse than terrible.
But really funny. Yeah.
No, he was down there. His girlfriend from his down in those parts. And I think they went to visit the in-laws type of thing.
Nice.
And he said he had a marvelous time.
Yep.
He said he was disappointed with you know what, Danny, anywhere you go in the world, out in the country, you're not going to have access to a comic shop.
No, I know.
But he didn't really get a chance to see the big cities and see what kind of comic book scene that they had. He would have loved to, and I'm sure they're vibrant down there. I'm sure Peoria and Peoria? No, that's Illinois.
I was going to say Peoria.
Peoria. No, Cape Town, Johannesburg. Yeah, yeah. What's the capital? Pretoria. Yeah, sorry, Danny. Sorry, our South African listeners, I apologize. But, yeah, I'm sure the comic book scene is healthy down there. And I'm sure they're all going to participate in Free Comic Book Day.
Absolutely.
Off the Cape there as well. So, hey, listen, Danny, great to have you back. Chime in the comments. Let us know you're still listening.
Yes. All right. Sounds good. Now, listen, we're going to talk about Iron Man.
Oh, we were?
Yeah, we were.
Okay.
Before we get, you know, usurped by
Danny
Champ here. Okay, so Iron Man the Third. Debuted last weekend overseas for a record-breaking $195 million.
Wow.
Now, this has broken the Avengers record, which came out with like 180-something, 185 or 189. Now, and of course, that also dwarfs the Iron Man 2 debut overseas of $100 million from 2010.
Wow.
Now, so this is just awesome. Like, so there, this is like a huge, huge movie. If this is already doing $195 million overseas, not even in domestic gross profits or sales, I can't imagine what it's going to do here because it's going to be the, you know, It should be the biggest opening weekend ever, really.
This is
hot off the tails of the Avengers movie.
Yeah, you're right.
And they have said that this is going to be a half Avengers sequel and half of Iron Man sequel.
Will there be cameos?
Well, I don't know about that, but they've said that this is meant to take place after the Avengers movie. Now, whether or not it's a direct sequel, I don't think it's supposed to be a direct sequel, but... the way that they're positioning the movie is that it's going to be after the effects of, you know, the invasion in New York from the Avengers movie. So this is going to be a great big movie, and it's going to be big.
Well, okay, so I think we're starting to see a change, Chris. Like, say the last 5-8 years, I think. With the way, you know, like the economic development of Asia, let's say, you know, China specifically, the world becoming a smaller place through the internet and through, you know, what do you call pop culture kind of being universal. Pop culture being global.
Yeah.
So a brand like Iron Man, I think you're going to start to see, honestly, you think you're going to start to see the worldwide gate outstrip the domestic gate on some of these big movies.
Oh, I believe that. You know? Yeah, I believe that. Especially
I think Iron Man's going to do gangbusters at home, like here in North America.
Yeah.
You know, I don't know, let's say 300-400 million. They'll probably do 600 million worldwide, though.
Yes,
you know what I mean?
You're right.
It's going to get crazy there.
I think you're absolutely right. I think now with sort of the shrinking of the global world,
and the buy-in though by the rest of the world to what comic books have produced.
Yeah.
You know, the power of comic culture is at hand here.
Right? The power of our radio show.
Of our radio show. Yeah. The global reach of comic culture.
Available on 93.3 FM.
CFMU. Which you can do through the intranet.
On podcast on iTunes, right. And Comic Daily.
You know, if you're listening in Petroleum, Illinois, or South Africa.
Isn't that where people get their oil from? Petroleum.
Yeah.
Their gas?
And, or, you know, wherever.
You could have named any city in the world.
Any city. Or Sofia, Romania. It doesn't matter where you're listening from. Gdańsk, Poland. Okay?
It's not even a real place.
Yes, of course. That's where the Solidarity Union formed.
Or Omsk, Russia.
Yes.
Yeah.
Or Cetingrad, Croatia.
Oh, wow. Yeah. Look at that.
So this is the great part now of all these people, the world.
Yeah.
Has just totally bought in, because you know why they've bought in, Chris? Because it's so flippin' good.
Absolutely.
It's good to you.
Yeah,
it's
I agree. I agree. I agree.
Yeah,
it is good
to you.
It is.
And people love it.
I love it.
I love it too.
Yeah.
And and so there you go. So the comic books, Iron Man, it's taking over the world. And I'd like to think you and I had a large part in
doing it. Well, we really did, you know, and we are considered to be experts.
We are.
On the topic.
Yeah. And we were like the fifth column. They sent us in early.
That's right.
With our radio waves. And we have obviously succeeded in breaking down the barriers.
Obviously.
And I think you got music coming up.
Yes, I do. So, you know, you're talking about – I know you were almost crying. I didn't have crayons.
Of course,
I have crayons. I was just trying to play something different for a change.
Okay.
So here you know,
play something different.
No,
crayons.
No, okay, here's a little bit of crayons for you. This one's called The Scarf. That goes on for about another 40 minutes.
And you know what? Not long enough.
Yeah.
You've heard that one before, I'm sure.
Oh.
I meant when you play music.
Right, yeah.
Yeah, when you're
right.
DJing.
Yeah, when I'm DJing.
Yes.
Yeah,
yes.
Yeah.
Chris, play it longer and stronger.
And louder than ever.
And louder than ever.
All right, listen.
Play
we're gonna
it
talk
loud.
We got to talk about Free Comic Book Day. We've only got a few minutes left here.
Yeah, listen, we have to remind people that we're on 93.3.
CFMU,
McMaster Radio.
Absolutely.
And we're podcasting at comicbookdaily.com and getthepointradio.com.
All right, listen. Free Comic Book Day is coming up this
Saturday. What can
Saturday.
We say about free? What can you and I say? This is yours and mine, or is it mine and yours?
Whatever.
Our.
Ours.
Ours is.
Ours is.
Ours is mission in the last 10 minutes.
Yes.
Is to convince every single listener listening.
Yes.
That's not going to shut off their radio during this. To go to Free Comic Book Day.
Right. Okay.
They have to. Chris, we have to convince the listeners right now to head over to their local comic book shop this Saturday to partake in Free Comic Book Day.
So,
how are we going
to
do that?
Okay, well, we have to talk about incentives.
incentives.
Besides the fact that they know they're getting
favors.
Free comic books.
Right.
Because really, that should really be the only reason why anyone would go to Free Comic Book Day is to get free comic books. However,
yes.
Some stores do it better than others.
Do it to your satisfaction.
Okay, so anyways, some comic book stores do it better than others.
Yes, they do.
And we're going to highlight just a couple of these stores.
Nobody does it better.
So we're going to talk about the first.
That's the Big B theme song, by the way.
Yeah. We're going to talk.
Sorry,
Chris.
I keep interrupting you. Go ahead.
I don't even know if I should start talking again because. It reminds me of that old knock-knock joke.
Hello.
Do you remember
who's
that
there?
One? Yeah. Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Knock-knock.
Who's there?
Interrupting cow.
Interrupting
knock-knock.
Cow.
Knock-knock.
Ah!
See, because he interrupted? Yeah.
I get it.
All right. Anyways, listen.
I got a knock-knock joke. Okay, anyway, go ahead.
Okay. Freak the comic.
We're certainly doing a good job convincing people to go to Free Comic Book Day right now.
Okay. Comic Book Lounge and Gallery in Toronto, owned by our good friend Mr. Kevin Boyd.
Yes.
This is located at 587 A College Street in
Chris,
Toronto's Little Italy.
I have to quickly interject. I was there last night.
Yes.
I was there with Ivan, Hope, Kevin, and myself.
And they're all writers for CBD?
Yes.
Okay.
No, Hope Nicholson is actually, she works in, I think she's like an associate producer of a film like that Lost Heroes documentary
okay,
coming
yeah,
up.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
And Ivan Kaczmarek writes for CBD. Yep. But we were all there. We're going to be putting on a panel, a Canadian comic book panel
at the
Niagara Comic Con June 8th, Saturday at noon.
Nice.
The first panel.
And you're
going to
be part of this.
I am officially. They haven't kicked me out yet.
Oh, well, that's
It's
good.
Still early.
Yeah.
But
lots
yeah,
of time for
we're
going
to be putting. We met last night to kind of set the agenda.
Nice.
So anyway, Kevin, thank you for hosting that event.
Okay. So.
Get to it, will you? Come on.
Freak! I just feel like you're going to interrupt again. Okay, Free Comic Book Day at Comic Book Lounge and Gallery. Now, we were talking earlier about incentives.
Yes.
If you needed an incentive to go to this store, here it is right here, because they're going to have comic book creators such as Ken Wheaton, Dave Ross, Christopher Yao, Sean Ward, R.B. White, and David Bishop. Tons and tons of these great, great comic creators are going to be there doing
all
sketches.
All in one store.
All in one store.
Wow, Kevin.
Yeah, this is great.
Good job.
So you know what? Just a great way to go in, introduce yourself to the comic book community.
Yeah, and it's a great shop. It's I love that part of college that it's on. It's near Bathurst there.
Yeah, it's awesome.
And so Kevin, best of luck on Free Comic Book Day. If you're in the Central Toronto, by all means, please head out to all the shops.
Well, yeah, you know what? Go to Silver Snail.
Go to Silver Snail.
Go to the Beguiling.
Go to the Beguiling. Go to the Comic Book Lounge.
Yeah, go to Comic Book Lounge. Yeah. Go to Million Comics. Are they still around?
Sure.
Go to Million Comics.
Go to Million Comics.
Yep.
Yeah.
Yep.
I heard they're giving away a million comics.
Are they?
Didn't hear it from me, though.
Yeah, I heard somewhere.
Yeah.
So I think it was in the National Enquirer.
Yes.
All right, listen. For those of you who are not in Ontario, perhaps you, for example, Happy Harbor.
That is a fantastic comic shop.
Right.
Jay out in Happy Harbor. He has easily one of the top one comic shops in Canada.
Top one. Yeah.
He is an amazing shop.
That's in Calgary?
Edmonton.
Edmonton, sorry.
No. No.
So, Happy Harbor Comics is going to be...
what's he doing?
Well, that's a great question. He's going to be saying hello to every new reader.
Well, no, he actually emailed me, Chris. He's getting like a tent.
Yeah, they're doing all kinds
of
stuff. They have raffles and prizes.
I think they're going to have he estimates 73,000 people coming through the door that day.
He said that they're going to try to give away 12,000 comics.
Wow. Yeah, but you know what he said? He said, with the great part of what Happy Harbor is doing, they're giving away 12,000 on comics.
Yeah.
They're giving away 6,000 through the store. But what he's doing is because North Alberta, you got to remember North Alberta.
Yeah.
Edmonton, and then there's
much after that.
Not much after that until you drive south 4 hours to Calgary, mm-hmm. right? So what he's doing is he's through libraries, I think. I'm not sure. Jay can correct me. But he's sending free comics out to the small towns.
Oh, that's fantastic.
In the area
that's
that
great.
Maybe can't get to Edmonton
if
for the event.
If you're in, like, Medicine Hat or something.
Or whatever, somewhere even smaller.
Yeah.
Like
I don't know
Jim's Elbow.
You know, I can't remember the last time I was at
Bob's Butt.
I can't remember the last time I was at Jim's Elbow.
Bob's Butt, Alberta.
Jim's Elbow. You know, I took a wrong turn at Jim's Elbow.
Anyway, yeah. So Happy Harbor is pulling out all the stops, and this is what it's all about, Chris. It's about the local comic shops pulling out all the stops for free comics.
Absolutely.
Because what you got to remember, it's a twofold thing, and Jay says this as well. Is you are celebrating Free Comic Book Day and thanking your existing customers.
Right.
By having free food, by having clowns and jugglers, and who the hell knows else? Yeah. What else?
Are you going to have clowns and jugglers here?
Absolutely.
Okay, good.
Yeah. Your costume, Chris, will be at the back. You won't need new shoes, thankfully.
Hey-o!
But more importantly is there'll be new people through the door.
Yes.
And we encourage you and I, you know, champion the local comic book shop, is for the local comic shops to focus on those new people, to greet them properly, to let them know what the shop is all about. Let them feel the energy of the day.
Yeah, for sure.
But also let them know your services, your products, and what you're doing for the community, and what you can help them with. You know, maybe they have kids, maybe who knows.
Yeah.
You know, like my point is the day is about impressing the new people.
Okay, so it says here now, so Comic Book Lounge and Gallery is having, like, you know, a bazillion guests, artists.
Uh-huh.
Happy Harbor is giving away free comics and, like, mailing them out. And then I go to Big B Comics, and it's like, best marketing tool is fun. You know what?
You know what?
Who writes this?
Listen.
Seriously.
Okay.
What is Big B?
It was late, Chris. I swear.
The best marketing tool is fun?
Listen. What I find with fun, it's really cheap.
Are you guys even doing anything for free?
Well, what we're trying to do is put smiles on people's faces. You don't have to throw money at them to put smiles on people's faces.
Smiles are free at McDonald's. I can get those anywhere.
All right? No, of course, Big B. Of course, we're doing lots. We're having our annual, in Hamilton anyway, our free barbecue with our gourmet barbecuer.
Yes.
And editor-in-chief, by the way, of comicbookdaily.com.
Right, Mr. Scott
Vanderplug.
Vanderplug, yeah.
He will be doing a free gourmet
barbecue. Do we know what he's putting on this
I
year?
Believe they're gourmet hot dogs.
Oh, okay.
Yes.
Good, yeah.
Of course, we have the Hamilton Public Library.
I believe
the Hamilton Public Library is appearing at the Barry Big B Comics.
Will there be appearances by, you know, like Superman or?
I believe Big B Hamilton is having its fifth annual Superman versus Flash race.
Nice.
Yes. And I think Richard Cumley will be there in Hamilton.
Oh, very good. Okay.
I think Paul Amos from Lost Girl.
Okay, yeah.
I think he's going to come to the Hamilton store as
well. Very good.
You know what? While I'm saying I think, I might as well say I think Hugh Jackman will be at our Barry store. And I believe, who's the guy, Art Bale? Who's the guy that was Batman?
Of Christian Bale.
Christian Bale. is at our Niagara store. So check that out.
It's good to see you're so well prepared for this. We've only been talking about it for 2 months,
right.
But I'm glad to see you're that prepared, and you know so much about what's going on in your own store.
Listen. Big B Comics, Happy Harbor Comics, Silver Snail, Comic Book Lounge, every single comic book shop in Canada, this is who we're going to champion in the United States, is going to do the best they can on Free Comic Book Day.
Fair enough.
You owe it to yourself, to your kids, to the wife, to the husband, to the girlfriend, boyfriend, to head out and just, you know, take an hour out of your day to visit your local comic book
shop. Why not?
Shop
give it a try.
Saturday.
Give it a shot. Yeah, absolutely. All right. You know what, Walt? Unfortunately, we have run out of time again. Somehow, an entire hour has been used up talking about comic books.
Chris, my hour with you just goes by so quickly. I don't know what to say.
I think this hour is going by quickly.
Right.
Just saying.
Hey, listen. Hey, we have to mention to everybody that Comic Culture is produced by Shecky Feldstein, a.k.a. Marty Berthelmer.
Unfortunately, he can't be here with us right now, but yes.
And engineered by our young buck, Andrew Roebuck, sitting over to my left.
And to my right.
And to your right. Thank you, Andrew. For comments and suggestions, please visit comicbookdaily.com. Click on the podcast link. Scroll down to the comments field and add your comments. And this week, hopefully for the podcast link, what do you call it, the post on Comic Book Daily. Perhaps if we'd love to see a post or two on Sunday or Monday about your experiences on Free Comic Book
Day. Yeah, you know what? I would love it personally if we saw experiences on Free Comic Book Day and also, pictures and stuff like that. Yeah, it'd be great. All right. Listen, go and support your local comic book retailer and have yourself a great day.
We'll see everybody Saturday at Free Comic Book Day.